This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple. I'm here with Alan Cobb and Donna Colby, who not only is a co-host, but is the interviewee of the day. Because she's launched a new adventure and a new enterprise that's... we don't have to go into all the details, but you went through a sort of a period of forced hibernation. And I know that at our Odd Thursday the other night, you discussed the value of the inward stroke of pulling back, and especially in this case, you were forced to just stay at home for a little while and not come out into the world. But that produced an outpouring creative energies and a whole new direction to your life. So tell us a little bit about what you're putting together here.
Well, and what it actually did, that period of time, it consolidated a lot of directions that were already happening. And the main direction that I'm going in now, probably the seed of it was planted in 2005 when I had this idea. I went through this many weeks long period of time where I was envisioning a creative institute of some sort that at that time I didn't think I was going to be staying in Fairfield, and I thought I was going to go to some big city and get grant money or some kind of funding and do this gigantic creative institute. And I was all fired up about it and done a lot of research and had a lot of ideas of what I would do there at this place, which was many buildings and all. And then at a certain point, I just stopped and went, what am I thinking? This is crazy. I don't want to do this. And I decided I wanted to stay in Fairfield. And it was just like this huge thing. And it was almost like something had come along and taken me over, you know, at the time to give me this huge vision. So it completely went on the back burner, or actually, technically, it went into a big folder that I had with all of those notes and the research, and that's where it stayed. And I started doing many other things. I was working on a novel then, and then later started teaching art classes in my home and was doing, you know, have been doing Odd Thursday at Icon. And then during this period of hibernation recently in the fall, one thing I did was get out all of my old journals and notes of various sorts, many, many notebooks, with the purpose of finding dominant themes in these that had been like part of my awareness for years. And I wanted to put some order into this whole thing. So as I was going through all of these old journals and gleaning the things that were still really sparking me now, I saw a pattern emerging, and not just in that folder from the vision of that creative institute, but all of the other notes that I had taken about things that I had wanted to do, they all followed the same theme, which was creative exploration and inspiring other people to dive into some form of creative exploration. And it wasn't just art, it was all sorts of ways of finding creative solutions to things or making discoveries in interesting directions and all of that. And I realized that desire to explore life that way and help spark that interest in other people had been the core of that creative institute and was really the core of my art classes I was teaching at home. So right around that period of time when I came out of that hibernation, I discovered that the space that Stacy Herlin had been using as Emerald Gallery above the futon shop, she wasn't going to use for that anymore. She was changing her direction in creative activity. And the minute that I discovered that space was available, it all fell into... It was actually a visual experience where suddenly all of these things I'd been thinking about for that month were located in that space. I couldn't even stop picturing them happening in that space before I even found out, you know, whether this was going to work out for me to rent it and all. So the next day I went and talked to Neil Cunningham, who's the owner of that building, and it was in fact available for, and I could rent it if I wanted to. And so there was no question. It was just the right time and the right format to do this that I'd been thinking about, scale down the massive vision of the Big City Creative Institute. But it wasn't a hard process at all, because all these ideas had been flowing through me for so many years in so many ways. And once it had a boundary of this particular space, it was very easy to know what to do. It's very interesting to me how that happened. It was that the space itself was what made the vision really practical, and you know, I knew what steps I had to take. And so when I went up, once I rented it, and I walked around those rooms, it was just obvious. Okay, I can have, there were enough rooms, there are 11 rooms up there, some very tiny and some a little bit bigger. There were rooms that could be classrooms. There were rooms that could be workstations that people could rent, small workstations that they could rent by the day or the week or something. There was a room for a little gift shop. There was room for a library. There was room to make a kind of Paris sitting room for various events in comfortable seating and nice ambiance and all. And it just, it was perfect. It was the perfect size and the perfect opportunity. So that's what I've been working on since then. I'm calling it Flying Leap Art Space, which is a name that came after hundreds of other names that Alan here and Jim Weidel and Paul Glossop and a number of other people were helping me with many, many creative ideas for names that were hilarious but not entirely practical. But all of that whole process of generating any name anybody thought of, no matter how useful it was or not, was an art event in itself. It was actually the first art event up in that space, and we just wrote down, Alan has made a list of like 150 of these names, and which we will memorialize in some way up there. But when they all made me just home in on the exact feeling I wanted in the actual name. And so it was Jim Weidel who thought in Cafe Paradiso one day, who suggested the name Flying Leap. And the minute he said it, it was like, oh, that's the feeling. That's exactly the feeling. That's exactly what I'm doing now. That's exactly what I feel the creative process always involves. And it had the energy that I liked. And so that's what I'm calling it.
What kind of things are you going to do in there?
Well, like I just described about the art classes and the art library.
But I mean, get a little, just a little more specific.
But, the first event that I will have there will be at the February Art Walk. I'm going to have a grand opening week in March, and that will be kicked off by the March Art Walk. And during the grand opening week, I will offer free trial classes and other coupons for the store and things like that. And it won't just be me teaching classes. There are other people who will be teaching classes in visual arts, in writing. My daughter, Adrienne, will be teaching singing lessons there. And there are other people who, one of her friends wants to teach a video class. And so there'll be, it won't just be one form of art. It can go in any direction. And there are enough rooms for simultaneous classes to go on, two or three classes at the same time. John Stimson will be doing his classes in calligraphy and making natural-based pigments and things like that. So for the February Art Walk, it'll be kind of a sneak peek because everything won't be set up yet then. But we are going to have a collaborative art project going on in one of the classrooms where there'll be three long tables and paper and art supplies at each table, and people can come in and just add their touch in whatever medium they want to an ongoing work of art, and we'll see what happens with that. And there are a number of artists who are interested in more controlled collaborative art projects later on, where there's a specific group of three artists or something like that who work very consciously on a piece. But this, I think, will be fun for people to come up on Art Walk Night and do that. And then also on February Art Walk, Allison Honeycutt, that night is her 30th birthday. So she asked if she could do an installation performance piece in honor of her birthday with some of her performer friends, my daughter Adrienne and Jeff Boothby and Eli Place and Johan Svensson and Allison are going to be performing in there. The way she describes it is it'll be sort of like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. But she has been decorating her installation space every afternoon, and it's wonderful. It's really transformed that little room. And the installation will be, the performance will go on during the Art Walk night starting at 7:45 and will be ongoing. You don't have to be there for the whole thing. You can just come and take a peek whenever you're up there. But then the installation will remain throughout the month, the rest of February. I'm planning on having the space open from 1:30 to 5, Tuesday through, at least Tuesday through Friday, maybe even on the weekends. I haven't exactly decided yet, for the month of February when I'm still working doing setting up, just so people can come up and see that. And I'm also having an exhibit of the work of 12 artists for the February Art Walk. Many artists that you've seen before around town and a couple of them that you haven't, including my sister, who's a collage artist in Charlottesville, Virginia, and she's sending me two pieces to have in that show.
And I've seen them and they're very wonderful.
You've seen the ones I have in my house. So anyway, that, and then John Stimson is going to have paper collectibles for sale at that Art Walk night, and I've seen them and they're some absolutely stunning little pieces from various places around the world, and they're all going to be very affordable items, and so he'll have those available. And then because that's the film-themed Art Walk, and I'm not going to be showing films, I thought I would have a room filled with movie posters. So I'm going to have, as you know, some very artfully done movie posters on display.
Well, I think it's very exciting. To me, getting the creativity level going, doubling it up and getting it moving even more, and that just excites me, especially in that concentrated area. Mm. Those three buildings are getting pretty lively with creativity, I think.
Yeah.
From the corner over, from Teeple Hansen Gallery through Icon onto Neil's space, which I think is really quite marvelous, what goes on down there, and then you're up above Neil now.
Yeah.
So you enter her place to the left of the futon shop.
It's the door right in between the at-home store and the futon store, a little tiny alcove, but I will have a sign up there by at least a few days before the Art Walk, hopefully a week before the Art Walk, so people can, but since it's right along that strip, I think a lot of people are just coming and going, so I'm hoping it'll draw the public.
Everyone will flow in and out of all the little interstices of the buildings.
Well, and we have this new influence in the area on the diagonal corner with Cafe Paradiso now.
Yeah.
So there's a growing confluence of interaction and community and, you know, creative people between Paradiso and Revelations on the one side, and then a confluence of art activities going on the other side of that street.
And I love the way that they're all just adding and expanding. You don't get the sense that there's a competitor, or anything. It's more like everything is just expanding into more dimensions and interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And I'm, of course, going to continue doing Odd Thursday events at Icon and continue doing the radio show. And Bill does different kinds of art classes than the kinds that will be taking place up at Flying Leap. He teaches oil painting and acrylics and drawing, and I'll have some drawing, but my painting classes will be watercolor and gouache, and I'll have classes in colored pencil and pen and ink and things like that. So there'll be something in that area for all kinds of things that people are interested in. I'm also going to be offering classes for children ages 7 and up also, who would like to take art classes. So
Right, and I'll size some what, yeah, well, sort of, I know what will happen is that you'll sort of size people up and I'll size people up and mm-hmm. we'll sort of figure out who's going to be the best facilitator
yeah, exactly.
for that person.
Yeah.
Some people I'll just say, go take a flying leap.
And for others, you'll say, oh, go take a flying leap.
Well, the other thing that interests me too is the open-ended feeling that I'm having about this. Suddenly, at a certain point, when I was putting all of the ideas together of what I wanted to do up there, I realized I can actually do anything I want. And I can change it anytime I want to. If I discover that people are interested in something that I never even thought of, it could move in that direction.
It better do that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
People think they know what they're going to do are mm-hmm. the ones who end up not succeeding.
Well, yeah. I think the most important thing about your space, it's a little, I mean, I've definitely got a arts organization and an arts gallery that's mm-hmm. established a certain
status.
Well, just a certain
momentum,
kind of momentum and direction. That's
yeah.
pretty much defined. But what I'm hoping that your space can maintain that openness and be that the creativity. Because I feel like what you're doing is you're addressing creativity more than like what I'm teaching is fine art skills
yeah.
very much, and of course creativity is part of it, but it's more narrowed down into the fine art skills and showing the top artists of the region. But your place feels much more open and much more about like what is asking questions of what is creativity mm-hmm. and how can we explore that question of what is creativity together up here. So the place has to be like an evolving creative organism mm. to be what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm putting my spin on what I think you're doing.
No,
but
that's exactly it. And the two things about that. One is I won't specifically be a gallery space in the sense that I won't have rooms where there's nothing in the room except for paintings. I will have art on the walls for pretty much all the time, and at the art walk people can go see exhibits, but they will be in rooms where other things are happening. It's either an art library or it's the sitting room or it's the classroom and there's something else going on, but there also is art. So in hanging the shows, that I have to take that into consideration too, that the paintings that will be exhibited in the library may be a different kind of works than the ones that are exhibited in the classroom area or whatever. And then the other thing I've discovered is that a lot of people have a block about expressing their creativity, and in teaching the art classes in my home, I realized how timid so many people are about even putting a line on paper. A lot of people really would like to take art classes if they could get past that timidity. So I'm actually structuring a series of classes that I'm calling The Timid Artist. And at first I thought maybe that would put people off because they wouldn't really want to think of themselves that way. But it's just been the opposite. Whenever I've mentioned that to people out and about, they'll say, oh, that's the class I want to take, because it makes them feel that the other people who will be taking that class will be like them, and everybody will be sort of self-conscious, so it'll cancel it out and they can feel a little bit more comfortable. And the classes will just progress at their pace and all of that. So that was kind of an interesting thing to discover. There was a big demand for that sort of classes. And then the other kind of series of classes that I've already done to some degree in my home, but I want to do on a little bit bigger scale. The classes are called Let's Try This. And for even people who have been doing art for a long time, you tend to get into a rut where you are specializing in watercolor landscapes, or you get into a certain style and that's what you do. In the Let's Try This classes, it's just trying things from different angles. Let's try making designs out of black and white cut paper, or let's try making pen and ink faces in profile, or just very specific things that maybe people hadn't done before. Working with color in different ways, or trying some different cultural perspective on art. for just one or two sessions and to dip into it and see if that's sparked somebody. And if it does, if a lot of people who try something like that want to go into it more deeply, then we can structure classes that, you know, where we can have a whole 8-week class in that thing that people discovered and found interesting.
Maybe I'll do my mini seminar on what resolution means in digital imaging.
Yeah.
It's one of those subjects that just baffles people or turns them into pretzels. And I know some prodigious minds that have excelled in the field of, you know, analytical chemistry, for one, who could not wrap his head around the idiotically simple issues of the concept of resolution in digital pictures.
Well,
so that would be, you know, it's like, yeah, it's not enough to do a whole course on.
Right, right.
But it might be something that would be an interesting thing, yeah, to.
And your areas of interest and education will be wide-ranging.
Exactly. Because anything is an art, I think. So we can talk about just about anything. And that's why I wanted to have this one room that's like a Paris, like the old Paris salons, you know, not the big art show salons, but the sitting rooms like Gertrude Stein had in her house with art on the walls and people sitting together talking about interesting topics. And in mine, up in the Flying Leaf Art Space, there'll be room for about 12 people in that comfortable room to talk about things like, you know, mm-hmm, Alan just mentioned, or anything, anybody who has esoteric knowledge that other people, 12 other people might be interested in.
Yes, I have esoteric knowledge I want to impart to you.
Gatherings.
I'll bring my little bag of esoteric knowledge with me.
And there are a lot of people tucked away in Fairfield who have
specialized
knowledge in, you know.
You may have to be careful now.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the thing I'm
still have the shamanic rites Satan worship.
No. I definitely have a flavor that I will preserve in my space.
You're going to have to be the mother of this place.
Yeah, and I know what that flavor
is. Everyone will have to, like, defer to your wishes.
I have a poster up in the middle right now, standing on a fancy easel that depicts the flavor that I see as the feeling I want to have in this place. And it's things like there are people leaping and dancing. So it's exuberant. You know, it must be exuberant. It must be playful. A little Fellini, a little mad scientist, you know, there's a lot of, but a lot of sweetness and wonder and all that too. And related to art, the art of living, mm-hmm, in various forms. So I know myself what that feeling is, and everything is going to, even though I'm quite open and don't have a whole lot of strong opinions and boundaries, I will know what things fall into that umbrella that I want to keep as the flavor up there. You kind of have to have that.
Yeah, and I, as an experienced person in this area, mm-hmm, will send this out to the airwaves, that just trust her intuition on these things. If you've got something you want to do up there and she says, I don't know, it doesn't quite fit exactly what I feel is my thing, then just respect that.
Yeah, otherwise I would drive myself crazy.
Right.
If I was,
you don't want to try to please.
You can't please everybody.
You don't want to try to please everyone. Your space offers a certain opportunity for certain things that you'd like to see happen.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I'm looking forward to is seeing the influence of another little energy center in the arts on the square. Because I have, you know, I've always had this vision of the square turning into an art center in itself, mm-hmm, with practicing artists on all four sides. And that may not happen this year, but I think we're approaching critical mass. We're approaching the point where there's enough stuff going on that people start thinking up things they wouldn't have thought up before, and they start getting ideas to do things in some of those other buildings on the square that they wouldn't have done before. And maybe if we're lucky, somebody with the resources to do it can dedicate one or more buildings to other kinds of creative projects like this that people who can't afford to do anything could use for a period of time on a larger scale than using a room in the Flying Leap for a week, instead to actually have a studio or a storefront for a year.
Yeah, because that's something people have asked me. They said, are you going to be renting out studio space to artists?
Yeah.
I said, well, I actually don't have enough rooms to do that, but it has let me know that there is a demand for that, that if there were a building in town that had a lot of good studio space to rent out to people.
Well, also, there's a phenomenon that we see when we do the masks program at ICON, where there's a place where people are coming. I mean, it's almost like a sewing circle or something, where people can come and sit down and make something. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of a group purpose to it, but not really very much. But they're all working on something vaguely similar, and they're all doing it in the same room. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice community experience to be sitting there talking or not talking, because you're building something, and maybe every half an hour something about the current conversation attracts your attention, and you start to join in, and then you go back to what you're focusing on. Mm-hmm. And I found that very interesting. This people would drift in and work for a few hours and drift out.
And I think your place will be is an inspiration, and it kind of gives people permission to go ahead and try, take a flying leap and try something like this themselves.
Yeah.
So I would love to see
the
square more ringed with these
flying leaps.
Venues of creativity.
You know, when Rosie opened the at-home store and the knitting part was just a little part in the back, she didn't realize that the knitting part was going to just take off the way it did. And there's that group, you know, twice a week that meet there and knit together. And she even said that if they have bigger classes, they might do some of them up at the Flying Leap, too. So are we down to seconds, Alan?
Yes, this means 20.
Oh, 20 seconds.
For those of you listening on the radio, this means 10.
Right. So we've been talking about
the Flying Leap, Donna's new enterprise on the square above the futon shop.
You've been listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.